This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. I'd like to envision someone in your mind for a moment. I'm just going to ask you to think of the person in your life experience that was flat out the toughest and most difficult to rattle. What is it about them that makes them that way? Is it their life experience? Is it the possibility that they've been law enforcement or fire protection or have seen military service? Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's just life has been such a challenge for them from start to finish that no matter what comes their way, they're not just ready for it, but they seem completely unable to be rattled in any way. And if you were going to set out to prank them and try to scare them, you knew you had a very tall task in front of you. Now compare them to a Roman soldier. Put that image in your mind. Maybe if you've watched it with me, I'm kind of a fan of the movie and watched it a few times. If you've ever seen the movie Gladiator, the Roman battle scenes at the beginning of that movie give you just a taste, a glorified and Hollywood version, but a taste of what it was like to be in that situation. And whatever came, you fought with every ounce of energy you had because if you failed, it could mean your life, not just from the enemy, but from those who would judge you in your failure. It's one of those things. I mean, for instance, the jailer at Philippi in the book of Acts. He's ready to take his own life because he believes all of his prisoners have escaped. If you don't know all the intricacies of what it meant in that moment, remember, his family is there. They're going to also be baptized and become believers that night. But at the moment he's ready to take his own life, the reason he is thinking about that is because he believes by doing it, he may save the life of all of his family members and his household. Because having failed in his duty, a very quickly called court-martial could have very easily proclaimed the ultimate punishment for him in that moment. That first, he watches all of his family members and household slaughtered before his eyes, before his life is taken for his failure. I can't imagine rattling a Roman soldier. I don't think anybody would do that on purpose. I mean, maybe they do, maybe they don't have PTSD from everything they've been through, but are you going to take that chance of what they're going to do to you just for trying to frighten them, startle them? The angel wasn't afraid of that, was he? Read the first verses of this text again. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Do you remember who those guards were? Who assigned them there and what they were doing? They had sealed the tomb, hadn't they, at Pilate, the Roman governor's command, and they were protecting the, not the governor's seal, but the emperor, Caesar's seal. Anyone breaking Caesar's seal had just committed treason and was punishable by death. So anyone failing to protect Caesar's seal would have the same outcome. How did these stalwart Roman soldiers react to seeing an angel? It's not like they back away a little at a time thinking, maybe I don't want to take this guy on. Uh-uh. It's an absolute trouncing reality from the moment the angel appears. They're flat on their faces like dead men, unable to do a thing if they had even wanted to. They're no match. And you think about it. They weren't just afraid in that moment. They were afraid a good long time after they experienced what they experienced in that moment. Because they have to give answer to a number of different entities as to how it was that they failed in their duty to keep that sealed tomb sealed. And you remember what comes of it? In the rest of Scripture, what you're told about this moment? They actually don't have their lives taken for their failure. In fact, they're the luckiest Roman soldiers who had ever lived, because this Jesus guy that they weren't able to keep in the grave, very important people didn't want the world to know that he was alive again, so you really couldn't kill off the Roman soldiers as punishment for failing to do something that never happened. So what we'll do is give you a boatload of money and pay you off to tell lies about what happened, that you actually fell asleep and failed in your duty that way. That doesn't even make sense, does it? When you look at all of the details about how people have opposed and looked at this situation that we read about in these verses throughout time, all of it crumbles and falls away, and it actually becomes one of the most substantiated, documented cases of a death, but also of a resurrection, so it's the only one of those, in history. And you see at the core of what's going on here, fear. And good reason for fear. A Roman soldier, as grizzled a veteran as he may be of how many campaigns and who knows what other kinds of action, understands from the get-go he's no match for a heavenly warrior. But they're not the only ones afraid in this moment, are they? The women are afraid that they're not going to be able to roll that stone away. They're afraid of what they're going to encounter if they do find somebody to roll that stone away, because they're miserable in their own little realm of reality in this moment, that everything that they thought was possible, was right, even righteous, had seemed to just crumble out from underneath them so completely. This Jesus that they loved, that they believed in, that they had followed, that they had supported, that they had worshipped as God in human flesh. They understood all that about him, and he agreed that that was who he was whenever they confessed him. And yet, in this moment, they're heading out to a grave where God is lying from their perspective. We tend to look down on and almost at times belittle the original disciples, the men or the women, in regard to their behaviors and their understanding of what was going on from Maundy Thursday forward. And even perhaps when we see them interacting with Jesus face to face in his resurrection appearance accounts as well. Come on, guys, get it together. How could you not know? How could you not think? How could you not? Well, hold on a minute. Have you ever been that afraid? Or are you a tough guy? Are you the person that can't be rattled? Are you the one that no one's ever snuck up on and made jump 3 feet off the floor out of sudden fright that you didn't realize they were there in the first place? Are you the person that always has the ready answer, the solution, the sit rep, ready to roll? I know what this is and I know how to deal with it. Just try another one, because this one's not going to even be a challenge for me. Even if you think of yourself that way, put yourself in their shoes and realize there have never been more confounded souls, despairing and uncertain about anything, human or divine, like those original disciples, men and women were, who walked this path with Jesus and experienced all the events of the days that we have been reciting over the last number of services. They had every reason to be fearing all kinds of different things. They had to be afraid of the authorities on one side. They had to be afraid of what they could not quite grasp on the other side in regard to who Jesus was and what he had told them and all the things that he had done. And now he's a dead body in a borrowed grave. If we put ourselves into that context, we come to realize that there are so many moments in our lives where our fears overcome us in very similar ways. Even though we know the outcome of this particular scriptural account, even though we know that Jesus is not in the grave, he is sitting on the throne of heaven, he is ruling all things for the good of his church, which includes you and me, everything in the universe is completely under his control. He tells us that before he ascends into heaven, when he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So you go teach, you baptize, you believe everything that I have told you. We've got all that down, and yet, even with all of that, you and I have so many moments when we're still afraid. What are you waiting for that has fear as a reality out in front of you? Is it the rumored downsizing? Is it the results of those lab tests that you are still wondering why they're waiting so long to give you the results? You start putting those pictures together and you come to realize there are all kinds of things, all kinds of directions this conversation could go in regard to what is your fear and what is the answer in the moment, while at the same time knowing the reality that your sins are forgiven, that your Savior has risen from the grave, that eternity is yours, that Jesus is coming to take you to be with him. He's even preparing a place for you right now where he's going to take you. All of that's true. And yet we still have a significant amount of fear, don't we? The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Check out how the women react. So the women hurried away from the tomb, still afraid, but yet now filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Isn't that really the status that we live in right now too? That every day as our lives play out, as the realities of our relationships challenge us, as we age, all the different elements that come together to make us who we are, we know the truth. We know that Jesus has risen from the dead. We hear the angel say, look into the word and see everything he told you and see how every last element is true. He's never lied. He's never failed to fulfill every promise, every prophecy, everything about who he said he was and what he would do is proven in the fact that he raised himself from the dead on the third day as your guarantee that he is who he said he is and he has done for you everything he told you he would do. For them, it was an instant reaction. For you and I, it plays out over a lifetime as we go back to that word and reassure ourselves and clarify those truths. And yet, we're still in that same spot, aren't we? As we live out so many days and take this journey of life, this afraid yet filled with joy status, where we're kind of back and forth, that momentary reality where the Holy Spirit reminds us of a passage or a Bible lesson or an encouragement from a fellow believer that has us going, oh yeah, 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 okay, God's got this, I understand. And yet, we just kind of hover back and forth, afraid, yet filled with joy. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. So clearly, seeing Jesus, physically involving yourself with Jesus, touching Jesus, worshiping Jesus in that close proximity and intimacy also plays its role in moving the needle from fear to joy, from profound uncertainty that paralyzes us to confidence and faith that motivates and gives us something to do, to live our lives confident of what Jesus has done for us, and sharing that confidence through the word with those who do not yet have it. So very often, huge things are placed in front of us in the scriptures, and yet they're calibrated down to such a simple reality when we filter back through and just look at the structural facts. You and I have a recipe here for understanding how it's okay to be both at the same time, fearing yet filled with joy. Knowing that we're going to continually be fighting that old sinner inside of us that wants to doubt and wonder, or maybe even boss God around, because a lot of times we realize we have better answers than he seems to have when we're waiting on his, or his aren't exactly what we would be doing in that moment, but no, it doesn't work that way. Worshiping Jesus means surrendering to him everything about who we are, understanding he is God, we're not, that he has made the choice to live in our world for the purpose of earning the righteousness that we could never gain and offer to God through his perfect living and dying and rising, so that we don't have to worry about making things right with God anymore. They are right. They're perfectly right. They're righteous. You're approved to live with God forever. And that status doesn't change unless you throw your faith away and deny everything that God has given you. Otherwise, that's who you are. You're a citizen of heaven already now. You have dual citizenship. That's a good thing. And you're a member of God's eternal family. And so you can walk through this world still having those moments of fear, but letting them turn you towards the joy of knowing that there comes a day down the road where fear goes away, sin goes away, pain goes away, aging goes away, everything goes away in the face of Jesus. Whether that's the moment his angels come to take you through death, or whether that's the moment the trumpet sounds and you meet him face to face. It's not just that he has risen just as he said, but that he is also coming back just as he said. And his resurrection is the linchpin proving every last thing that he wants you to know about him, that he has told you, that he wants you to come back over and over again to review and make your own and solidify your understanding and your confidence and your reliance on it, so that in those moments when fear is the reality for just about everybody else, in balance to that fear, you have a reason to be filled with joy and even face that fearful moment with joy, knowing that it's not the end of whatever is in the moment in the crosshairs of your reality, the end of a life, the end of a relationship, the end of a job, the end of a whatever it might be. That there is a life of blessing and peace and joy ahead of you that will never end, because Christ has won it for you and he's given it to you through his death and resurrection. So that you can join the echoing chorus of the believers from this moment forward, but really all the way back to the beginning, as we spent time last night in our Easter vigil reminding ourselves. The believers have always lived a life of reality ever since the fall into sin, of fear yet filled with joy, reality that I'm broken and the world in which I'm broken or in which I live is broken. But my God is perfect and holy and not only does save, but will save. In a moment, you'll confess that reality in the Apostles' Creed. You'll join your voice to centuries and centuries of Christians who have stood on a day like today to proclaim the realities of the resurrection of Jesus' return and the work of the church from this moment till that moment when it all happens, and how the Holy Spirit will grow through bath and through meal and through word spoken, word heard, word sung, word contemplated, that Jesus is everything he has said he is, so that you and I don't need to fear. Whether it's an angel telling us, or it's the friend sitting next to us, or it's the family around the table, who all know this same truth and are using it to comfort us and give us courage. It's okay to fear, as long as you're leaning in that balance back to that reality of joy that you can have as a believer, that whatever this moment means for you, it means better things down the road. Because Christ has risen. He has risen indeed, just as he said. And that changes everything. It even changes fear to joy. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.